Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
This is episode 113, and it is Thursday, January 11th. Hope everyone's doing great.
Hey, Drabby, right off the bat, I want to get into our Jumbo Lump Parlay for the Wild Card Weekend, NFL Wild Card Weekend. I saw your email come through, and I was surprised, and I liked your play.
I know. It's time for you and me to get on track here, and for me, experience matters, and being healthy at the right time matters.
Uh-huh.
And I think the Rams are going to beat the Lions this weekend. Moneyline bet, it's plus 140, but the Rams are healthy. Stafford's looking good. The Cooper Kupp is back. You got the Rams defense, which is very, very solid, against the Lions in a wild card game and not a lot of experience, even though they're at home. It's a three-point favorite for the Lions. I really think the Rams are going to win this game by a touchdown.
I like the play. I like the value, and I think you sold me on it. I wasn't really eyeing that up, Ryan.
I think people are sleeping on this game a little bit.
I think they're sleeping on it too. The double revenge game.
Absolutely, that's going to be an exciting game to watch. That's my portion of the Jumbo Lump Parlay, Valdez. Of course, brought to you by Crab Sports, Maryland's number one local sports book. Crab Sports is the only sports book that offers special boosts and parlays on all DMV teams. Partnering with local hero brands and businesses to bring you the best localized betting experience. Make sure you guys sign up now for the Jumbo Lump Parlay and Bit Season. Use our promo code BITTIES when you sign up. Get the new app in the App Store, Play Store, Apple Store. And if you need help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 years of or older. Valdez, what is your play? We got to get on track.
My playoff Jumbo Lump Parlay for Crab Sports is David Njoku anytime touchdown is plus 165.
Been hot with Flacco.
He's been hot with Flacco. I've seen the Flacco tight end connection in the playoffs. Njoku's just a beast. He's an animal. I love it. Plus 165. I think the Texans are most susceptible to the tight end position. So I look for Njoku to get into the end zone anytime in the Browns Houston Texans game, plus 165. Look for that Jumbo Lump Parlay in your Crab Sports app. You get a nice little boost between the Rams money line and Njoku anytime touchdown score. We love it. It's going to hit.
All right.
It's going to hit.
And of course, the reason why we jump right into our sports betting conversation is because
Drabby had an interesting
week. I had a big week and a big decision to make on Monday for the payout, the season-long payout, I never
the
make...
The season-long sweat.
I never make those kind of bets.
I know you don't.
I hate seeing them in my till there.
Yeah, you hate the ticket slip.
I hate the ticket slip. I wanted to be cleared out. It's like spring cleaning.
When that virtual money hits one hand, it's got to go out the other. You can't just see it in escrow like that.
Yes. And a lot of people, Valdez, were giving me crap about it and saying...
Not about the bet.
I think people...
By the way, you identified a winner preseason, which is very hard to do. So kudos to you for that.
It wasn't a winner.
but it was not a winner.
Right. So if you're just catching up, in August or July, I put a season-long bet on the Washington Huskies to win the national championship. When I made the bet, it was 40-1. I saw some people get it at 100-1, like last February.
I saw that, too.
I was a little bitter about that.
It was like before the summer.
Right.
So you're able to catch on in the middle, after the steam, but before they started rolling.
$50 bet, and it paid out
$2,000.
All right. So here's some things I have to clear up about it. A lot of people are giving me crap about it. Like, you should have hedged. Jason was giving me, basically called me a dummy on the show. I had to bite my tongue because it was on a Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. I didn't feel like getting into a fight with him. And
I noticed that.
I know. It was too early for a fight, and I didn't sleep that much. And basically, Jason was like, you're an idiot. You should have taken the payout. But what Jason thinks is important is not what is important to me. Okay? Jason, getting any money on a bet, that's what was important to him. He cashes out stuff all. He'll cash out our weekend parlays we do on the show because he wants something in the money.
Right.
Right? He's always... Not me. That's not what I want. I wanted the bragging rights of identifying a bet back in the summer and then having it hit and feeling that joy with that. Also, the ADs that come with that. I'm the college football expert.
You're the king.
You don't get that cashing out before the game. You just don't do that. And Michigan was a huge favorite. It was like 230 or 225 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I would have had to put more money.
By the way, after it's so much easier after the fact to say you should have done that. But I mean, it's a 4.5 point spread. 4.5 point dogs win all the time. This was no foregone conclusion that Michigan was just going to bulldoze Washington.
And people told me I should have took the money out before the Texas game when they were 5 point underdogs.
Everyone did that too. By the way, what did I say? I told you, I said, even if you think about hedging, you shouldn't do it until the championship game, because now you've taken so much money out of the equity of your total win that it's all of a sudden not going to be worth it. Your ticket's not going to be worth anything.
And here's the other thing. When I made this bet, remember the guy who gave me $10,000 to run his account with?
Your benefactor, as ever.
Right. He took
your sugar daddy, as Eric always calls him.
He took all that. Yeah, he took all that money back. He needed it, or he wanted it for something else, and he left me like $100 in the account.
Hey, that's kind of like tipping a waiter.
I know.
Thanks for the good ride this year.
Yeah.
Here's $100. Have fun.
He left me $100, and so 50 of that I put on the Huskies to win the national championship.
Yeah.
So what you have to know is that account had $0 in it.
Uh-huh.
There was no hedging unless I'm using my own money on my own account. Then if that loses, then I'm taking money out of my own personal. It was just too much. Like, I didn't care that much. It was too much work.
I just
wanted to sit back, watch Penix throw bombs. It didn't happen. I lost the bet. $2,000. I don't care if you're a multimillionaire like Cakes, or you're a nubber like
Valdez.
I wasn't going to say Valdez. I was going to say Michael Marr.
I can tell you what you were thinking, though.
Right. Of course, anybody wants $2,000. A lot of stuff, fun stuff you can do at $2,000, right? But it didn't work out. I didn't care about the $200 or $300. Oh, in case he doesn't
hit. You should have got something for it.
Yeah, it's
a lot of rigmarole to get $100 out of it.
I understand.
And was there a cash out option?
Yeah, it was $600.
Okay.
$600 before the game.
Oh, I didn't know there was a cash out option.
Right. But again, I didn't want $600 because I thought the Huskies were going
to
win.
Yeah. You stuck to your guns. That's why I admire you, Drab. You stuck to your guns. And I actually felt bad for you. Number one, I knew the barrage of Drab Stupid was coming.
There were a lot of supporters. Oh yeah, people were saying I don't really care. I'm riding with the Huskies.
I'm riding with Drab. Yeah. I'm riding with Drab. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. But this is why I felt so bad. Is I could tell. I could tell you had that money earmarked.
I did. Yeah, I counted it before we did my account.
I was kind of confident. You were kind, and I won't say you were banking on it, but you kind of were counting those chickens.
I was a little bit. I know.
You were talking about, oh, that money's going towards hardwood floors.
Yeah.
I did feel bad because of your airbag saga. And I go, I go, man, Drab really needs a win right now.
That was the airbag saga was right after we recorded Bit Season. Pretty sure, because it was last Thursday that happened.
That's right. Oh, is there an update, by the way? Because I don't think you gave one on the junks.
I have not given an update on the junks. There's not an official update, but I guess I know the ballpark.
Oh.
Okay.
Is it more or less than what you imagined?
Well, right now it's less, but it looks like insurance is going to cover it. They should take care of it. I still have insurance for now. They will drop me when it's time to renew.
Yeah.
After everything that's going on.
And you already have nubby insurance, right?
Well, we were well behaved long enough to get back on Travelers.
Okay.
Which I'm sure Travelers might be nubby, but
I like that. We were well behaved.
Before we were on Travelers, like the last 5 years
like
before
on
this.
The general.
No, I'm telling you, it was something called AIC. I've never even heard of that. AIC of Maryland or something. Okay. It was
awful. You have a Virginia license.
Just getting just so screwed.
Just so much interest.
We got back on Travelers, and we've been on Travelers for like 3 months.
Oh my God.
And of course, this happens. I called the auto body shop. They told me they still have to check the alignment because they think that's possibly screwed up.
Okay.
Also, the guy was like, "How hard did she hit the curb? Did she jump the curb?"
Well, I'm like, I know you were.
She said she was going slow.
You were distraught, but I guarantee. I think she mishit the pedal.
You mean she tried to step on the brake and hit the gas?
Yes. Yeah. Like she was distracted.
Possible.
She was distracted or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like the big Dave Thomas Wendy sign is in her face. And so she like flinches. So instead of slamming the brake, she slams the gas instead in her haste, which accelerates, pops the curb, airbags deployed.
Here's what I know what happened. She hit that curb way harder than she let on.
What do all the cops use about the skid mark? They can determine
how fast you were going.
Can determine how fast you were going by the length
here's
of the skid mark.
Here's what ricked me a little bit when I called him yesterday. The guy said, you know, and I have to check the alignment, and there's the abrasion on the back wheel. I said, no, it's the front right wheel.
Yeah,
and
he goes,
no. I looked at it. It's the front right wheel. Then I started thinking, I didn't look at the back wheel, right? And he hadn't looked. I guess didn't look at the front wheel. And he goes, well, it's definitely the back wheel. I'm going to have to go look at the front wheel, too.
So now you have two.
I should destroy two wheels, probably.
I thought of you the other day when I went to go get air in my tire.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the morning. By the way, that might be on the Mount Rushmore of life tilts, is putting air on your tire in the morning.
You don't even want to know how long that took me the other night.
What, to put air in your tire?
Dude, somehow on my car. It, you know, the air came out, whatever, that gets cold out.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Sheetz because they have the free air.
Uh-huh.
I filled up my tire to 35 pounds.
Yeah.
I took the thing off, started driving home. I got a flat tire.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what? Flat.
Riding on the rim.
Yeah, it was just, and so then I go back to Sheetz.
Well, you got a hole in your tire.
No, I think something was, I think I was somehow, like, something was wrong with the valve or something. And
you broke the valve off and it was just leaky?
I still haven't figured it out. I went back to it. I put the gauge in there. It said it was at 3 pounds.
Oh my God.
Okay. And I'm like, what just happened? There's just no way this happened.
You're going to die.
Filled it back up again. Same thing happened. It took like an hour, dude. I felt like something was wrong. Like it was sucking the air out. I know nothing about cars. If you know something about cars, you probably like, Drab, you're an idiot. I don't know what was happening, but it kept deflating as soon as I inflated it. If that makes sense.
Within the hour, it would
within
be...
Within the hour, within like 2 minutes.
Oh, you got a hole in your tire.
No, because I was... I did all that. I finally figured it out. I don't know. I just kept doing it over and over and over again until I took the thing off and it didn't all leak out.
Oh, interesting.
So it's freezing. It was that night. It was super cold.
Yeah,
just freezing my ass off at Sheetz.
Well, I hate driving on... Whenever the tire pressure light is on, it freaks me out. So in the morning... Your car's sitting there overnight, and then all of a sudden the tire pressure comes on as soon as you start your car. Mm-hmm. And I got this place that I go to put the air in my tire.
How many days you let it ride with?
The maximum I do it, 2.
I'm a 2 to 3 day guy because I know it's from the cold weather, and I know that it's usually it's unless you're like something happened where I sucked all the air out.
Yeah,
it's just a little bit lower than it should be.
I like to walk by the car and gauge it. And I go
kick the tire a couple times.
It's a little droopy right now. Maybe I should put it in.
I usually go 3 days, and then I'm like, I should probably put the air back in here.
Two is, and you know what? I get secondhand embarrassment. When I take it to the valet,
and then
there's multiple tire pressure lights flashing as they're parking the car, but I'm putting air in my. I drive up to the air machine. All right, I'm gonna go grab my ankles as I got to go put $2 worth of quarters into this thing, I let out my door and I get ready to get out to go fill up. It's always the front left tire that needs it.
Yeah.
And I forgot to put the car in park. And it popped.
Oh crap!
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, it's morning. You're half awake. You're not really paying attention, and it popped the curb. And then I immediately thought of you and Sarah, and how the car got misaligned. The airbags went out, and I was so thankful that my car just didn't roll into the street through a fence. Because I was half asleep putting air in my tire.
That's what it tells you. Like, my wife had to have been going pretty fast to hit the curb. He did say, I said, what is the worst airbag to go off? Is it the side ones? And he goes, or the steering wheel? And he goes, no, neither. He said, the worst one, the one you absolutely do not want to go off is the front passenger airbag. Because he said it destroys the dash.
Oh, did that one not go off?
No, only the side ones did.
Okay, well, then you're lucky. You dodged a bullet.
Yeah, so he said, if that one goes off, then you're screwed because you got to get a whole new dash.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did you interrogate Sarah after this? Were you good cop this time instead of bad cop? Because you know you got her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
I did.
You know the story's not adding up, but are you just letting this one go? This is the misdemeanor.
Good question,
this
Matt.
Is the misdemeanor.
Yeah. I really feel like on this one. it was just a mistake, and she was really upset about it.
She loves
this car.
Yeah, I know.
It was.
I'm not saying she did it on purpose, but you just realize the details aren't.
She doesn't really know what happened.
Okay,
and so the more I grill her about it, she wasn't really able to answer it because she was just kind of she couldn't believe that the airbag went off. Like that's how upset she was.
When you're asking Sarah questions, mm-hmm. are you like rapid fire like JP type questions?
No, it's really,
or is it you ask the question, you let it simmer for a little bit,
and then you
go back to the drawing board and ask your follow-up.
You honestly know what I fantasize about sometimes? This sounds so freaking weird, but I don't really bicker with my wife. It just doesn't go well, right? Like some it just doesn't work out because then it lasts longer than it should.
It lingers.
Yeah, it lingers, or it could turn into a real big fight, which is not what I want. I want, you know how those couples like Italian Americans or Hispanics, how they can just go at each other and then like 5 seconds later, everything's fine.
Yeah.
I want one of those relationships.
where you're screaming your lungs out and then all of a sudden you're having makeup sex.
Yes. I yearn for a relationship like
you
that.
You want a fiery relationship.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I want a relationship because I'm tired of suppressing my anger. A serenity now. Yeah. It's so much serenity now. I need an outlet, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like those... For some reason, I'm thinking Italians.
I know what you mean.
Where the Italian wife can tell get the F out of here.
Yeah.
I have you.
Yeah.
Up yours.
Yeah,
up yours. Kiss my ass. Yeah. All right? And then they storm off, and then literally they're fine 10 seconds later.
Yeah.
I would kill for my wife and I relationship to be like that if we're going to fight. Of course, you know, you never really want to fight. But mm-hmm. if you are.
Yeah.
You want it to be the release,
then all of a sudden.
Suppressing anger doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me. It works for her. And so I'm trying to maintain a solid relationship. Yeah. and not have a 3-day fight or something like that.
Is that stereotypical, though? Italians and Hispanic couples?
Well, Italian, Latin women are fiery.
Yeah, I know.
And passionate.
I know that. Right? I know, yeah. Yes. Pam.
Yeah.
Pam. Shout out Pam.
Absolutely. And Italians are just loudmouths. In a good way. This is a compliment. Okay? This is not good.
Yeah, okay.
I would kill for this.
Yeah, this is a good stereotype.
I wish I was born
Italian
in Jersey. Okay. Hey,
maybe EB would like you more.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you Vinny or Joe and his wife. I'm sure they just yell at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey. You're an alcoholic drinking too much Sambuca on the weekdays.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe. I told you, JoJo, he was going to play like shit today. You let him hang out too late last night.
You're embarrassing me.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I just... The only thing we know is Godfather.
Can I tell you? Yeah. I respect those relationships because you are truly who you are. Like, you're not necessarily...
Walking on eggshells.
You're
tired of tippy-toeing.
I don't want to tippy-toe. I don't want to walk on eggshells. And, of course, every guy out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You don't want to...
Because you're trying to keep the peace in your house.
No, every decision...
And women,
every decision,
too.
Every decision a guy makes, they have this thought process. It's a risk-reward thought process.
Absolutely.
That they have in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm about to do worth... The talking to or the anguish that's coming later,
mm-hmm.
or the scolding I'm getting later,
right,
or the spanking I'm getting later, verbal or physical.
So, and I had to,
what was our point? Oh yeah, yeah,
Sarah is more sensitive.
Okay,
right. That so I can't unleash the fury, and if she gets mad, of course everybody gets mad. I take it better. I think I take it better than her, right?
Yeah, because that's the radio background.
The radio background. I love fights.
Come on, Sarah, lay it into me.
Yeah, yeah. But I can't.
Call me a hack.
So when she wrecks the car, it's a lot.
It's kid gloves.
It's eggshells or serenity now. A lot of it. You know, I probe enough to try to figure out what's going on. Let her know that I'm disappointed.
And let me ask, do you have an outlet or to get rid of all this anger? Or is it when you stroll in at 5:30 and you
take it out on
me and Mar?
You know what? I think I need an outlet. I think I need
something. Or is it the weightlifting?
No.
Pumping that iron makes you feel good.
No.
All that pent up rage and anger.
I mean, it has been before. There's nothing better than like when your team blows a game and then you go work out. Like that's the best time to work out because you're so angry and then you get those endorphins going and I recommend that. Next time the Commanders like blow a game and you're so angry, just go to the gym for a little bit. You'll actually feel much better and then you'll realize how stupid you are for caring so much about a dumb team that you're not even on. But yeah, I need an outlet. Yeah, I had it for a while with Muay Thai,
uh-huh.
a few years back. That's over.
What about just a punching bag? Although that's a weird outlet. You know what I mean?
That's a little too aggressive.
Yeah, you don't want to be punching something because your wife upset you.
Put a picture of her face up there. Yeah, that would be a bad look.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that what golf is to a lot of guys?
No, golf is you don't understand. Golf is the great escape for guys.
It's an escape. It's not an anger release. Really.
It's it's your get out of jail free card. Hey, honey, I'm going to be gone for 5 hours and I'm not going to be able to contact you.
Right.
That's more of an
avoidance.
Yes, that's an avoidance. That's the bliss of it. Hey, I'm going to be with the bros. We're going to be talking about guy stuff, smoking stogies, maybe having a transfusion. I'll see you when I see you.
All right, more leisure, less of an outlet.
That's not really an outlet. The last thing you want to be thinking about when you're golfing is women.
Right.
Unless it's the cart girl.
Getting back to the estimate.
Yeah.
Right now, including the airbag and the wheel, the one wheel,
mm-hmm.
we are just under 5,000.
That's great.
I was actually happy with that.
Yeah. Considering what you thought it was and the horror stories.
Now he has to look at the other wheel and then check the alignment.
Yeah, so but we'll an alignment's not that much.
Right, so I'm hoping, fingers
crossed.
Unless
it's like a double alignment with the front and back.
Oh, I'm just hoping he's like, not going, holy crap, the axle is cracked.
Shattered, yeah.
That would be that would be a nightmare. So hopefully we're around $5,000 on insurance and then they don't drop me, but we'll see. Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Going back to the first thing we talked about sports betting.
Yeah.
So there has been somebody on Twitter. The only people that I block on Twitter are people that troll me when my team loses.
Okay.
Like, I literally hate you when you do this.
Okay.
You can talk crap about me. Say I suck on the radio. I should have hedged or something like that, or a disagreement. Like Juan from Rockville, you heard us mention.
Yeah.
The guy's the ultimate troll, but I get a kick out of him because he's kind of funny about it. And
at least he supports the show. At least deep down he doesn't hate you.
That too. But it's more so I hate people who troll after your team loses. Okay. It's just my hang up, right? And I think I've said this before. Don't make fun of me when my team loses. Don't clap in my face. Like the barstool thing where they like just, I hate that.
Yeah, don't rub your nose in it.
I don't really brag. I don't do it to anybody else. So, but there's been somebody that's been trolling me recently.
Okay.
And it's actually bothering me.
All right.
I want to get your thoughts on it. And I did block like two people on Monday night.
After the Huskies
were blown.
What did they say? Just loser. You're a loser.
Yeah. Like basically this team sucks. Penix suck. I'm not even a Huskies fan. I've said that many times.
I know.
But you're just trying to get under my skin about a team that I was rooting for. If you do that, I'm going to be angry. So there's been someone who's been trolling me. And I actually, it's kind of ricking me. And I like this person.
Okay.
The Stallion, Ryan Clary, is kind of pissing me off.
Well, what's he doing?
And I love him. I really love him, but he's pissing me off.
What's he doing?
So Monday night, he I think he did it a few weeks ago or something like that. And I think Clary likes me too. And so we get along. So he tweets me. This was kind of more of a minor one.
Okay.
But he tweets me.
But all of these minor ones are adding up right now.
Yes. He tweets me at Monday night at 8:20.
All right.
Says, way to show up, Huskies.
And he just says it to you.
A text to me.
A text.
A text. Okay.
Oh, by the way,
I didn't respond.
That's the Sam Weiner. That's the Sam Weiner text. Hey,
Sam Weiner did it too.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk to him for like a week.
I know. He said as Seattle was getting their doors blown off by the Ravens,
yes.
I think he said, I thought you guys were good.
Yes. 100%. You're right. It was Sam Weiner. All right. I just didn't respond.
Yeah. Because maybe he doesn't know. Right? Give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think I've told him before. But I didn't respond. Maybe that should have been a clue to him. Then, yesterday, Pete Carroll gets fired. Okay? I tweet immediately, devastated.
Yeah.
Which I was. I'm a loser. Okay? I don't care. I'm a loser.
I like that you're putting your emotions out there. Drab's had a rough week.
It's been a rough week for Seattle sports fans. So I tweet, devastated. And then, you know, I was very pleasantly surprised. Grant and Danny asked me to come on the show. It was Grant who was texting me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Asked me to come on the show.
Yeah.
And he said, 2 minutes, come back. We'll be back in 2 minutes. So then the hotline is calling my phone.
Uh-huh.
I pick up the phone and it's Clary.
Oh, no.
And he goes, poor baby Drabby, your coach got fired. Poor baby.
Oh, no.
Dude, I was hot. I was Rick at Clary. I said something about it on the air. I didn't like that he was trolling me. I don't think they knew that I was actually furious at Clary about it.
Hey,
I don't understand.
Hey, by the way, that was great age roll. Hey, yeah. That is great age roll.
No, it's not.
That's
low hanging fruit.
That's grade A. Anytime you can mock baby sounds to somebody about how upset they are, that's grade A.
And then those guys were playing It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday or something, which was less so, but Clary is 2 for 2 this week on annoying me on my Seattle misfortunes.
Well, so hold on. Did Grant and Danny have you on to mock you? Or
no, they were actually you were genuine how I was feeling about it and how I was taking it.
The pulse of the fans, maybe your greatest Pete Carroll moments.
They just
You were there to do the on-air eulogy.
Pretty much. And it was right after it happened. But Clary,
I'm actually guilty of pulling a Clary.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you do it to me?
No, I didn't do it to you because I understand your.
I have like 50 people blocked on Twitter over the years. Probably, it's only if you immediately tweet me. Gonzaga every March gets knocked out of the tournament. If you fire off a tweet to me right after they get knocked out, I'm going to block you.
Typical mid-major.
Yeah. Way to go, Zags. Blow it again.
Yeah.
I'll block you.
What did I say to you? I just said Saban was taking your Pete Carroll ADs.
That wasn't. You weren't really trolling.
No. But in the group chat, I have a friend who is a Seahawks fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're not my only Seahawks fan. And so so the group chat with all the golf buddies, I said, I would like to hear Ivan, who's the Seahawks fan. I'd like to hear Ivan's eulogy for the Pete Carroll era.
Fine.
Yeah,
that's
I just wanted to get his thoughts.
Now look, I'm a baby. I've made it clear, though. The one thing I don't like is being trolled when my team loses or a misfortune.
Drabs, you are easy. You take other people's words more to heart than I do.
No, not about anything else. I'm telling you.
Only your teams?
Only. I just don't like that characteristic of people. Yeah. It's a character flaw in you if you were doing that to me.
Yeah, but you're the type of person that would take the success of like the Seahawks and rub people's noses in.
No, I don't. I don't. I never do that. That's my thing. I have friends that the only person I will ever do it to is Juan from Rockville. Because we kind of have that relationship where but I have plenty of friends that are fans of other teams. When the Seahawks beat the Commanders, every time they played, Russell, I never said, we whooped your ass again. When we knocked the Commanders and Redskins out of the playoffs, I wasn't gloating about it. I'm pretty humble about it when my team wins.
I'm excited. I like to think I'm the
but
same
I don't
way.
Take shots at the other team.
No. I didn't take shots at you when we spanked you, did I?
No, because you know me. You know me, and you didn't want me not to talk to you for a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a little sensitive about that. And I don't know how to handle Clary. Should I just move on?
No. Word will get back to him.
Right.
You know what? Clary's also, think about it like this. Clary thinks he's on cloud nine, and I think that's a lot of these Commanders fans. They think they're on cloud nine because they're getting their Josh Harris process started.
They're getting their rebuild, exciting.
So,
again.
Yeah, so they're gonna get like Drake May, and they're all gonna be with their chests puffed out. They're gonna get their hot, sexy coordinator coach coming in. So they think they're on top of the mountain. So now they think they're punching down at you because they have things that are going good for them.
Wow,
and then they want to make you feel miserable because they've been miserable for 20 plus years.
The Commanders they can never punch down on the Seahawks.
I know, but that's what Clary thinks. He thinks
I was about Clary's
he thinks
age
he's here
when Gary was dismissed from the team pretty much, right? I mean, I guess Gary retired. Gary Williams.
Okay.
I would have never called you up and go, oh, poor baby buddy, you crying? Gary left the team.
I think I did cry.
Yeah, I was on the verge of tears yesterday. Pete's my guy. All right. I needed to tell you that.
All right. Hey, before we head to break here, we got to let you know that this episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports me, supports Drabby, probably supports Pete Carroll, too, if you could. And supports Washington Huskies football.
There we go.
Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code BITSEASON for 10% off every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. You also can find it on Amazon. We love Mike. We love Don't Sleep Energy. Hey, when we come back, I want to get your thoughts about Dry January and Junkies Fashion. Junkies Fashion.
Oh, right? Okay. All right. Let's do it. That. All right. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last week, even before we knew SeatGeek was coming back on the show, I went to a George Mason game. My buddy Mike and I, we got tickets on SeatGeek. That's the place to find the absolute best deals. We went to the Mason game in Fairfax, and it's the best place to find the best deals.
I know I'm going to be using SeatGeek for the Ravens playoff run, Drabby. You hear me talking about concerts like the Luke Bryan one coming up in March. Going to use SeatGeek to get my tickets.
With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports festivals, and much more.
SeatGeek is great because they put all the tickets across the web in one place, so it's all right there for you. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so you know what seats are good, what deals are good, what deals are nubby. I know I always look for the big green dot when I'm using SeatGeek.
Every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps. That's very important. Love the buyer guarantee. So here's what you guys are going to do. You guys are going to download the app, and you're going to use the promo code BITSEASON for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off if you use the promo code BITSEASON when you sign up.
Yes, that's one word, BITSEASON. Make sure you sign up. Make sure you support SeatGeek. That's one way to support our show is by supporting our sponsors. And you know what? We actually use SeatGeek. We love SeatGeek. It works. It's better than all the other apps. They have everything you need. It's always the best, it's fairest price. And also, you know this, if you're selling tickets, you can use SeatGeek as well. And remember to use that code BITSEASON, one word, for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. Download that app right now or just go to SeatGeek.com. Welcome back to BITSEASON episode 113. I'm Matt Valdez with Drabby. Drabby, did you know that I have been doing Dry January? All of the rage that's been going on I think it's in the 30 plus community is Dry January. And I have a lot of thoughts about it.
I actually did not know that until just a few minutes ago. I wasn't really paying enough attention to your life, I guess. I've got focused on myself.
Fine. That's fine. I'm not broadcasting it from the rooftops.
I've had a lot of things
I've noticed. We're 10 days, 11 days into Dry January.
First off, how are you feeling? Are you feeling any better?
I actually feel amazing. If you have problems sleeping, okay? Mm-hmm. My sleep has been outstanding these 11 days. I haven't had to wake up in the middle of the night. It's one long throughout the night sleep, one continuous sleep. I'm not like waking up at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Is that what was going on before?
I've always had this weird thing where I wake up like at 12:30, 1:30 in the morning and then have to force myself to fall back asleep.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want you to be mad at me.
Okay.
When I hear this, and it's wrong, I'd say it's wrong. But my first thought is, Jesus, how much were you drinking?
Oh, no. That's what everyone thinks. I'm not offended by that.
Because you're making a big deal out of going 2 weeks without some alcohol. And which
I've gone 2 week stretches before, but
this is what my brain is thinking, right? Like this is a momentous occasion for you.
Yeah, but you don't. You don't enjoy like a beer.
No, never.
You don't enjoy the taste.
No,
you just don't enjoy the feeling that you get after you have a beer.
The only time you can call me every word in the book, that won't bother me. Is if I go to like Glory Days or a sports bar and I'm watching a game, then I'll get a cider or a couple of ciders.
Yeah,
I feel like JP, to be honest.
You kind of are like Puritan
Square. I just don't really enjoy.
You don't enjoy beer.
This sounds.
I like having a beer at night every now and then.
I just I like soda.
Soda's great.
I know.
It would be the same. It would be the same thing as if you went soda free September.
That would be a very. That would be very challenging.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's the same exact thing.
Right.
But the sleep is the number one thing I've noticed in dry January.
Mm.
But yes, when you say you do dry January, you do feel very alcoholic. Mm-hmm. When you say you do it, but here's the problem with dry January. Number one,
what's the October one called?
Sober October.
Sober October. I mean, come on. Okay, well, all right. we're checking off a lot of months here now. Everything,
but January. See, this is why it's kind of tough. All right, is because January is just the month of boredom.
Indoor blues.
Indoor mm-hmm. blues. There's nothing more that you want to do to pass the day than to have a beer, right? And then plus you have playoff football.
Yeah.
That's going to be my biggest obstacle. My biggest hurdle is playoff football.
Because especially if you're going to a game.
Well, yeah, if you're using SeatGeek and you're going to a game.
Yeah.
I'll have the nervous drinking if the Ravens are in the playoffs.
Yeah,
to kind of calm yourself down while you're mm-hmm. watching the game. That's gonna be the first challenge. But dry January is kind of a joke because people do dry January to feel, I guess, healthier,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a health kick. But what I've noticed is I'm just replacing the calories of
yeah.
of beer with food.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are you eating more that you're just pigging out at home?
I'm passing the night by doing elaborate meals.
Oh. Oh, well, I know. Yeah, I know you made like a friggin' lamb roast this week.
I roasted a leg of lamb. I'm doing stuff to occupy my time. I have not. You can't go.
Are those the jitters? Maybe the jitters, Val.
I'm having the Tom Hanks.
Your detox.
I'm detoxing. That's just what I'm noticing.
Here's what I'll say about dry January. I don't really understand the point of that and sober October, if in you're just counting down the days just to terminate your body, you know what
it
again.
It's alcoholism's telling yourself that you're not alcoholic. That's all it is.
Oh, okay. That you actually don't depend on alcohol.
It's partly that, but also partly.
I just don't understand the point of like cleansing your body. If you're just going to toilet again.
It's partly a cleanse, but it's also proving yourself that.
Oh, okay.
It's proving to yourself that number one, you can accomplish something that you're probably addicted to and dependent on.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it would probably be easier to give up alcohol for a month than it would be to give up a Grizzly Wintergreen a month.
Well, that would be impossible for you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Because you enjoy one more than the other, but the addiction to tobacco is so much quicker and severe than it is for alcohol.
I'm actually doing dry January because I typically wouldn't, because I think it's a farce and I think it's just kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. You're an adult. You can do what you want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like it's not like you're a child and you're not allowed to have dessert or you're eating dessert before your dinner. But I'm doing this because I made a big deal about it when I was with my friends, and I told Wacky Jackie that I was thinking about doing dry January, and Wacky Jackie likes a beer or two,
mm-hmm.
and he laughed and he goes I would never do that. Why are you doing that? Were you a little kid? And I said, well, if I gave you $1,000 to do dry January, would you do it? Mm-hmm. And he said, no.
Really?
Yeah.
He enjoys it that much.
Yeah. I guess that's mm-hmm. what I did.
Yeah.
So I almost took that as a personal challenge to myself.
I got to be honest. I respect that because if you offered to pay me $1,000 for no nut November, I would turn it down. I don't know what my price
to be honest with you. No nut November is definitely harder than dry January.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, after about 3 or 4 days,
you're
going bouncing off the walls.
You're wound up like a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that one,
dry January gets easier as the month goes on. No, November gets harder and harder. Yeah.
All of a sudden, lunch ladies.
Yeah.
Lunch ladies start looking like Pamela Anderson. Yeah,
that's why those prison guys go gay.
hey, we'll, all of a sudden, we'll start popping boners looking at Mike Marr.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. November is not for me. Even though it probably would be some correction in my life. Yeah,
I was going to say, what would be your price for NNN?
I would do it for probably $3,000.
I was going to say five. Yeah, around that.
Now, you'd have to throw out Wet Dreams because I have no control over that.
Yeah, I think.
Which I'm assuming that would happen after, I don't know, 5 days or
five, a week.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but
I don't know. But I'm doing that. Oh, and I believe my skin's getting better too. No more rosacea.
Well, you do have a big pimple on your forehead. But besides that,
my big pimple,
it's more like the coloring in your face is more appropriate.
Oh, well, I've been doing a skincare routine.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Well, it's working. I can notice that.
Thank you.
So when should, if dry January is a bad time because of playoff football, what is the best month for being sober?
I actually knew someone, that I lived with him, and he used to do he would go so hard on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can tell how young we were because you would go hard on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
He would not only do dry January, he wouldn't drink until the Super Bowl. So
well, that's Super Bowl used to be like on February 2nd.
Yeah,
okay. Sometimes January 31st.
I would say February. February is a better month to do it. I think that's the best month. I think that's the
shortest
best month. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, shortest month.
Yeah, but not drinking on the Super Bowl, that would be tough.
I think it's because you can if your team's not playing, you can get feed into your addictions by gambling.
Okay, well, Valentine's Day, a nice wine on a date or something like that.
Sex. Okay. Sex will get you into that.
Hmm.
And then you can't do March because then you have the tournament.
Yeah, it's too many days, too much day drinking for March. Yeah.
And then you have St. Patrick's Day too.
St. Patrick's Day.
In March.
Cinco de Mayo is Memorial Day, so May's out. April might be a good one. But I know you like to sit around and
have
some transfusions and watch the Masters.
Was it the azalea drink?
Yeah.
Yes.
Summer, you got to throw summer out because you're just outside all the time.
Grilling.
Coronas. You're at breweries and wineries too much. Like, yeah, summer's out. You can't be any of those. September, football kicks off. You know what? It is tough.
December, you have Christmas parties.
Yeah, December.
Maybe November.
November's not a bad one. It's possible.
Yeah, but you can still do like breweries in the fall. Football. Yeah.
I'm not doing dry November and November.
It's one or the other. You can't get two out of it.
I mean, what are you? You could be crazy. You'd be a madman if you did that.
Yeah, you would go insane.
November's not a bad one, other than the fact that it's just really hard during football season. There's so much football on 5 nights out of the week.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to be with your boys and everyone's going to be having a cider, as Drab likes to drink.
Yeah. But November is a possibility. April's up there too. If you can get through the Masters.
That's my biggest thing.
What about Easter? Mimosas? What do people drink on Easter?
I think mimosas, but nobody drinks on Easter.
You're probably right.
But I want you to think about me when the Ravens are playing the Browns.
All right,
and I want you to be a good friend.
When Flacco's just got three touchdowns in the first half,
don't be an asshole. I want you to think about it when we are butt pumping Flacco.
Okay.
All right, and I want you to send me a nice text. All right, and say, hey, I'm thinking about you on this playoff day, and hopefully you're holding strong.
All right.
Put it in your Siri calendar.
And I'll say, show me your meal that you're cooking. Yeah.
Hey, show me that water.
Dude, I don't understand. How do you have time? First of all, Valdez is so weird. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Who goes to the grocery store on a Monday or whatever day it was?
I go on the weekend.
Okay.
I stockpile on the weekend.
He bought the biggest slab of lamb I've ever seen in my life.
I bought a 6.5-pound leg of lamb. It was on sale, by the way.
Okay, he's going to be eating lamb until that Browns game.
Basically.
It just sounds so... And he's like all about it. He's stuffing it. What were you stuffing in? You sent me a picture.
Oh, well, I watched about 5 YouTube videos on how to prep and cook your leg of lamb. So I got the leg of lamb, which was 50% off. 6.5-pound leg of lamb.
Now, let me ask you a dumb question.
Was $25.
When you eat lamb,
yeah,
are you? Oh, does everyone buy a leg of lamb, or is that just some like Costco bit you did, where like you bought it, or some huge thing?
Like what you mean?
I
mean,
a leg of lamb. Like I'm telling you,
There's a rack of lamb. You never seen a rack of lamb?
Lamb. Okay.
They have boneless lamb, but this was.
Can you just go like buy a pound of lamb?
Yeah, you could probably
like
go buy
ground lamb or something.
I don't know if it's ground.
But if you're gonna roast a lamb, do you usually buy a leg of lamb?
Yeah, you can usually buy a leg.
Okay. All
right. Or you get the big old French.
Do you feel a little bad about a baby?
I thought about slaughtering Bambi so hard, even though Bambi's not really a lamb. But I'm just saying, like, it didn't bother me at all.
Oh, by the way, there's some new show on Netflix called, I don't even know what it's called, something like You Are What You Eat or something like that. It's one of the main things they're promoting right now. And it's a vegan show.
Uh-huh.
And my wife started watching it, and she tried to get me to watch it because... it's about identical twins, and they feed one twin a vegan diet and the other twin like meat,
junk,
what people would normally eat in the American diet. So she started watching it, and she's just so just easily, you know,
persuaded.
And she starts watching this thing because of these twins, and next thing I know, she's saying that she wants to give up meat.
What are you doing?
I know, dude. I'm actually. I think there's more episodes. I'm going to cancel Netflix when I get home.
You might as well. You know, you stop paying the Netflix bill.
I know.
Or put a child lock.
Right. And I'm like, Sarah, you're not going to get me with this. I'm not giving up meat. I'm going to eat. I got to eat healthy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't care about what the colon cancer you get from red meat. I'm just not interested. You can be interested. If you don't want to eat meat, you can do that.
Yeah, I'll support you, but...
I said...
Meat's for me.
I do not care about the methane gas from cows. I said, I've also said the dogs fart too much, or their dog poop is putting a hole in the ozone layer. You want to get rid of Oakley too? All right.
That's what I said. That's like JP reasoning right there. Right. But anyways, I watched 5 videos on roasting leg of lamb,
mm-hmm.
and I stuffed it with rosemary and garlic.
Rosemary, that's what it was. Yes,
I know. And then I was updating you and Cork on the progress of the lamb. You know what? I'm just going to stop sharing it with you.
No, Cork likes it.
I know, but you, I don't know. You're just flabbergasted that
much
I'm doing
like,
something.
Much.
Just like I'm an old woman.
Well, we get along great. We just have such different interests. I I know I'm in the minority. I'm the weird one. I've never bought steak. I've literally never bought steak ever in my life, except for Omaha Steaks sometimes, who used to show up at my front door. I have never gone to the grocery store and picked out a steak and said, I'm going to grill that tonight. Hamburgers, I love. But like steaks and ribs or all these roasts. Valdez is always roasting something. I don't, it's so weird. It's just like, I don't know. Like, it's Monday. Who has time for that?
It doesn't take forever. It's, it took me about... Well, it took me about 45 minutes to score the meat. And
that's what I'm talking. 45 minutes to put a couple of knife slices in it.
I don't have toddlers running around with poopy diapers.
Even before then.
I manage my... Drab doesn't like the fact that I manage my time better than he does.
He always says that. He's always just slam back at me. I manage my time well. You don't.
I don't take 2-hour naps every day. I manage my time better than you do.
Can I tell you the most tilting part of this? Is that he's sending these updates of his roasted lamb at 3:45 p.m. and going, ready for dinner.
Well, no. It came out of the oven at 3:45. You don't understand. The meat needs to rest.
Oh, for 10 minutes. I understand.
No. The whole rack, it needs to rest for like 40 minutes. Okay. So I eat
4:30 dinner.
I eat dinner at 4. Oh, well.
Yeah, not we're right. just different. We're just so different. But I'm happy that
hey, you know what you did. It actually pissed me off this week.
All right. All right. What did I do?
All right. Number one, Drab knows exactly how to kick me in the nuts by him challenging me, saying, All I do is make meat and a vegetable, and I can't. I don't have any.
Oh,
I don't
have simply simpleton meals.
Yeah, I'm a simpleton. All I do is cook meat and eat a carrot, like I'm some sort of barbarian caveman, and I'm not skilled in the kitchen.
I agree. And then slab of meat and Brussels sprouts,
and then Drab challenged me to make. I don't know. He challenged me to make something that has six ingredients in it.
I want you. I want to see you.
He wants me to knead dough.
Yeah. I go, make me a pizza. You impress me. Okay. Bake me a pizza. And he goes, okay, I'll go get some toppings, some cheese.
Yeah.
And I said, no. I want you to knead the dough. You got to poke the holes in. You got to let it rise for 90 minutes. Roll it out. Let it rise again. Okay.
I got to make handmade pasta for Drab.
No. But a casserole or something.
Casseroles are buddy. All right, but anyways,
enchiladas, something.
Enchiladas are buddy easy. I made enchiladas a billion times before.
Maybe soggy. I've seen you made soggy nachos.
Okay, that's all you bring up. That's all you bring up.
The soggy nachos, and then
Drab. I made Drab his Thanksgiving dessert that he had to take to his parents.
It may have been Mama Valdez. I didn't see.
But anyways, so Drab gives me this challenge by saying, you know what, why don't you do something besides just a meat and a Brussels sprout? Take six ingredients. Wait, come on. I want to see you do something with six ingredients.
Six ingredients.
And then you should have seen Drab orgasm in his pants over Michael Marr's beefaroni that he brought in.
Michael Marr impressed me. Little Michael Marr impressed
Michael Marr,
me.
Michael Marr had a Cincinnati chili. Chili mac with spaghetti noodles.
That's not what he had.
Yeah, he had spaghetti noodles and taco meat, and Drab is acting like this is foie gras.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is. And then I know what you're doing. He's Drab's faking it, and he's looking at me right in the eye as he's taking his spork of chili mac to his mouth. Wait, what seasoning is that? What seasoning is that? Oh, I can't put my finger on it. Ooh,
and then
Michael Marr. Oh my God, God bless him.
Can I tell you?
Hold on. God bless Michael Marr.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea what you're doing, and I see what you're doing.
Michael Marr
is puffing out his chest, going, "It's onion powder." Onion powder! I would have never known.
Can I tell you?
Who would have thought onion powder can do this?
I'm impressed by Michael Marr, who's like 23 or 24, who literally just moved out of his parents' house to Clarendon a few weeks ago, and he's already coming in with home cooked meals, and he's doing a great job. I was impressed, and it tasted good.
It was basically when Harry met Sally. Drab was doing that.
Make lasagna. I want to see. Send me a picture of lasagna that you make. Okay, impress me. Layer something.
I want you to
measure ingredients. You're just slapping a hunk of meat on a grill and going, "Wow, I'm such a great cook."
Drabs are going, "Oh, is that Cheerios for breakfast? Is that homemade Chex Mix?"
No, I needed a snack today, so I ate his dry cereal.
I knew what you were doing.
All right, maybe you're on to me a little bit.
I know what you're embellishing. You're basically wrapping your arms around another girl in front of me.
All right, hey, before I want to talk to you one last thing about Junkies fashion, and it came up on the show this week when we were talking about golf fashion and Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger saying goodbye with Nike, and then they were talking about Jason Day's outfit, which was sponsored by Malbon, M-A-L-B-O-N.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Malbon, Malbon.
Yeah.
Although the guy's local. He's from Virginia Beach.
Well, maybe we should put a request in for some gear.
My guess is if golfers are wearing this and everything's sold out,
he doesn't need
Lurch rocking the sweaters.
But then your friend Jackie said that the Junkies have terrible style, right?
Jack has said that the Junkies have terrible style.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Chuck Lee was texting me during that segment saying Malbon is the hottest brand out right now. It's basically the new Supreme. It is it is like Uniqlo almost. The brand, what is that? Is that Federer? No, it's
Uniqlo. That's more of like AWOD shops at Uniqlo.
Yeah.
It's just cheap, like a Japanese company.
I know, but it, like, you know how it became like the hottest.
Yeah, I know this is the Supreme and that. Yeah.
But that's what he said, is that Mallbond's basically the Golf Supreme right now. It's, the hottest brand.
I don't understand. What makes fashion having the new brand? That's not what I consider necessarily fashion. And then there was also, let me find if I can find it. There was like a post on the Reddit page about the junkies fashion.
Yeah.
And it said something like, I think the word was frumpy. And it said all the junkies, including Drab and Valdez, have no style and they wear frumpy clothing. First of all, I don't think you should lump Valdez and Drab in on that. I think that was fair. And in fact, they specifically pointed out me. Let's see if I can find it, see what they said about
me. That makes me feel good. Although, you know, JP Finley made me feel awful today.
Why?
Because he goes, oh, you're playing golf today? And I go, yeah, I'm playing golf. He goes, I always know when you're playing golf. He goes, why? I go, why? He goes, because you're wearing sweats and a hoodie every other day. And I go, are you kidding me? Bro, I've made it my resolution to stop wearing sweats around the office.
All right. Sorry. Again, we have to, but you're wearing like this flannel every day. I'm trying to figure that bit out. You're wearing like a flannel.
Oh, that's like on my jacket.
I know, but it's cotton. You're wearing a flannel.
It's like a
flannel pullover as your jacket.
Yeah, it's almost
so
like
every day you're wearing the same green.
I take it off.
I know you do, but
it's like a Dickies jacket almost.
It's like Lurch wearing the same pants every day.
It's a jacket. What do you want me to have, 10 jackets? Well, I'm not a Kardashian.
Well, usually jackets are not cotton. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's you're wearing a sweatshirt every day and then saying it's a jacket.
It's an overcoat.
It's not. It's like coat is debatable. Maybe it's wool. I don't know.
It's a coat.
I don't really know what.
It's an overcoat.
I
didn't know you were.
So all six junkies have terrible fashion. Apparently, I don't think you have to remember. It is so early, and we don't have a dress code, even though we're on TV. There's no dress code here. If you could literally wear whatever you want to wear to work and your work started at 5 a.m., you're probably not wearing a button up and pressed pants every single day in your loafers.
There's going to be some wrinkled outfits.
You're just wearing what you can get away with or what you feels most comfortable.
I wear jeans and a hoodie all the time.
The junkies, I would say there's a few junkies that are embarrassingly horrible dressers.
I would agree.
Two specifically.
Yeah, Eric and Jason.
No. Jason, here's the thing about Jason. Jason falls into that category. It's early. If you see Jason on a Saturday or Sunday and he's like out at Bonefish or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, he looks a billion times different than he is in here.
Absolutely. He's got very nice clothes and he's well put together. Eric, I don't see that happen. Eric and Cakes dress how the they same. Dress on
well,
the cake, show.
Well, Cakes here's
7 days a week.
No, Cakes is going out garb. Like we've dined at fancy places with the junks before.
Yeah,
Cakes. Here's the problem. Cakes is always Cakes might be the worst dressed. Because everything is so ill-fitting on him.
It's ill-fitting, yeah. The haberdasher.
The jeans sag over his flat ass. They're always too long and too big.
And then Cakes will get the face a little bit when you tell him that it's like a Nubs brand, because then he doesn't want to spend money. He says he doesn't care about the brand. Yeah. He doesn't care what it says.
Cakes' jackets are like cover his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The length of the coat should be tailored to his weird body type, and it's not. And so his coat, the sleeves are always too long.
EB is a little frustrating because he's got the arrogance of a great dresser.
Yeah, he thinks he's stylish, but he's actually 8 years too late.
Yes, and it's just ill-fitting clothes. Now, granted, I don't see Eric a ton either. None of us see the guys that much on the weekend.
It's always like we're, you know, going out to the Palm for our ratings.
No,
there,
but like say
MGM,
or if we went to a Nats game, would Eric be frumpy? Probably, right? He's just going to wear his sporty clothing, and it's going to be old and free, probably, for the most part. JP, though, is the one that kind of ricks me the most.
Okay.
And JP is because it's just so foreign to my style. Like, JP is the let's wear the company polo, you know, kind of guy. And it ricks me, and it's just so, without a, it's just so lame looking.
JP is the nicest dressed in terms of being on TV.
Yeah.
But when you're translated out into the world.
And he's got one pair of jeans, looks, and he's very proud of it.
He looks exactly like JP in the studio.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And he's got one pair of jeans, and then he's got those, I don't know, the Hey Dude shoes or the Allbirds or whatever they are, and he wears them all the time.
They're like Cole Haan. Yeah, the one Cole Haan shoes.
I'm not any better, but I would say someone who has potential that could do better is JP. Because yeah. JP, you know, he's got good structure, good facial, handsome guy.
His clothes fit him the best, probably.
They probably look the best on this body. And when he wears like a collared shirt or a pressed shirt or whatever you want, he looks very sharp. Mm-hmm. But he should be like the jeans he wears don't fit him. He could have great style if he tried, like, because he kind of knows, like, it fits him well.
Yeah,
he needs a haberdasher. He needs someone because. He's such a minimalist with these one in one out rule that he's blowing it. He's blowing it. He's trying to dress nice, but he needs more swag on it, I guess. I don't know what to say.
That makes sense. You know, I know what I know exactly what you're saying. He's down the middle with mm-hmm. everything he's wearing is down the middle.
Right. And I try to stay on trend. Valdez does for things that he's interested in.
Look,
as well.
I know I'm always late to the party, but I feel like I'm always well dressed at the golf course.
Right, Valdez wants you to take out.
That's my style.
Right,
I am golf course chic. That's because everyone else there is old and they can't dress.
It doesn't help that my name's Drab T-shirt.
Yeah, why don't you?
What, change my name?
Change your name.
Nike t-shirt.
Nike t-shirt.
I don't know.
Form-fitting t-shirt.
All right.
What about plaid t-shirt?
No, I don't like plaid. Doesn't look good on me.
Yeah, I noticed you've been wearing your Instagram shirts.
Yeah. Well, I wear these Instagram brands. whatever ad is targeting me on Instagram, I'll buy it. I'm also maybe one day I'll talk to you about the new denim that I'm interested in. Maybe another show.
I'm interested
in Japanese denim. I'm doing some research on it. When we have more time, slower week, I'll tell you.
I wish you would have seen Drab come in on Monday or Tuesday with this puffy coat. This puffy.
Oh, that's my guy, dude. I actually love that Bigfoot tracker. Hold on, I don't want to screw that up. Hold on,
Drab came in with his George Costanza puffy coat vest.
Hold on,
hey, look how trendy I am. Look like George.
No. First off,
Gore-Tex.
No,
Gore-Tex.
Dude, that's my guy Steve. He's got his own company. He started his own like fashion company. It's called Bigfoot Tracking Project. He's a listener of the station. He used to work for a coat company out here in Northern Virginia, and he started his own business. He's chasing the dream. I love it, dude.
It's payola.
No, not payola. You brought it up. Yeah, Bigfoot Tracking Project is the awesome best out there.
Speaking of Bigfoot, Drab will go, look at my July 4th Bigfoot shirt.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait till summertime. I can break out that sweatshirt.
By the way, didn't I give you a shirt?
Yeah, it's still in my closet. It's still hanging in there for emergencies. You gave me like a red and white stripe.
So think about that. Drab, the trendy Drab who thinks he's the cutting edge of everything fashion is wearing Valdez's old hand-me-down.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
You gave that to me because
hand-me-down.
I wanted an American flag shirt for 4th of July. I didn't have any, and I don't wear polos, and you brought me an American flag polo shirt.
It's a red and white, almost like candy cane.
You want me to bring that in for you? It's been sitting in my car. I don't know if I'll wear it again.
No, you are such an asshole. I got my Bigfoot shirt now. No, you're an asshole.
Why?
Because you know exactly what I'm going to say.
You're going to say
that it doesn't fit. I'm too fat for it.
You're not too fat. Maybe that was in your younger days.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Bit Season this week. We will be back on the Junkies tomorrow. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bit Season.
See you guys.
Later.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.